The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, Dr. Ray. I love your show.
Let me show you what it looks like to be a holy person, and maybe you'll want to be holy like me.
You just patted yourself on the back.
You seem like an honest guy.
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
I think you have a way of making people feel relaxed.
She needs to feel the consequences of being a jerk.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
Obviously, I'm a failure. Obviously, I'm inept.
Yes. You are awesome. Keep up the good fight, my friend.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Obviously, he was looking for a deeper answer. I was sitting watching one of my kids play Little League ball some years back. A guy that I didn't know came up to me and said, "Can I ask you a question?" And I wanted to say, "Well, you already just did. Do you want to ask me two questions?" I said, sure, kind of hesitantly. I don't know what the question is. So he tells me that he was considering being a foster parent, and he had some rather difficult history regarding this one kid that he was thinking of fostering. And I said, I was trying to pay attention because my kid was pitching, you know. I was trying to pay attention to the game at the same time figuring, all right, I got to give this guy kind of some kind of soundbite answer because I didn't want to sit there and do some kind of 22-minute session. I wanted to watch my kid play ball. So I gave him some short observation about something, things to consider. And he said, "Well, thank you. I appreciate that you let me interrupt your kid." No, he didn't say that. He said, "Well, I was hoping for something a little better than that." And he left. So I told my kid between games where he was sitting, I said, and throw a wild pitch toward him. No, I didn't say that. Nice to have you in this, Dr. Ray Garendi here. I want to thank Andrew Kruchek, my producer man. I always kind of try to thank him sometimes at the end of the program like it's an afterthought. I want to thank him before. He makes it run on that end there in Ave Maria. And all the nice folks at EWTN, radio and television, they're beautiful people. They truly, truly are. You know, a lot of folks, oh, yeah, they got a public persona. What you see is how they come across their image, which is me. I got a public persona, and then behind the scenes, I'm kind of a jerk. But they're not. They are, in fact, sweet, kind, thoughtful, bright people. Jack Williams, Tom Price, you hearing this? You hearing this? Consider this when I get a raise? Something? Just a thought. Wasn't trying to do that. Anyway, so good to be with EWTN. All right, the number here, 877-573-7825. Very tough number to remember. I don't know, Al Cresta, my boss over there at Ave. I don't know. I want to say, Al, when you first started this, why did you pick that number? Why didn't you pick something like 877 Dr. Ray? Yeah, I wasn't even on the scene then. Or even 877 Al Cresta or 877 T. Tomio. Something. No, 877-57 equal. That's the number to call. If you'd like to get onto the program, question about something in your life, question about something in somebody else's life, question about something generically, it's about something you don't understand, psychologically speaking, emotionally speaking, developmentally speaking, behaviorally speaking. Something in the faith as it intersects with psychology. Something in psychology as it intersects with the society at large. There's just no limit here to the things we can talk about. And there's no way I can promise that what I'm going to tell you is of use. But hopefully, it's my shotgun approach. Ooh, more violent language. I'm going to hit something if I say enough. 877-57 equal is the number to call to get on to the program. My wife sent me this. Interesting. It is a poll. It's a poll done by Rasmussen. Now, Rasmussen's been pretty accurate in polls. Given that there is this relentless, what appears to be, downhill slide away from religion in our culture. And the idea that, especially among the young people, they're abandoning it in droves. This was kind of surprising to me. Now, it has to be taken with not a grain of salt. It may be a pound of salt. A recent poll. Now, this is interesting the way they reported this. It says a recent poll reportedly found. Well, did it or didn't it? A recent poll reportedly found that a large percentage of registered voters believe that Jesus Christ physically rose from the dead. A Scott Rasmussen National Survey poll reported that almost 70%, that's huge. That is a percentage almost as high as people thinking Elvis is still alive. 70% of registered voters believe in Jesus' bodily resurrection. Okay, let me just jump in there a second. I don't want to be a killjoy about this. A registered voter is more likely to be older. A registered voter is more likely to have a sense of civil engagement. So you might say that registered voters was a bit of a selective sample. I wonder what that sample would be if it was unregistered voters. That's aside. Let's just take what they're telling us. 70%. That's a lot. 70% also said they will be celebrating Easter. That's right, celebrating Easter. It was conducted with 1,000 registered voters. Then they were asked a series of statements, true or false. The man known to history as Jesus Christ actually existed and walked the earth. True or false? 83% to 5% of the voters said they believe that Jesus Christ did in fact exist and walk the earth. Now, among the people that I have had experience questioning whether Jesus Christ actually existed even as a person is the heavy intellectuals, which is interesting. There's all kinds of evidence that the man Jesus Christ, if that's what you want to call him, existed. Of course, we got extra biblical evidence that says this. Of course it does. If you deny Jesus' existence, you got to deny a whole bunch of people of antiquity's existence. So fortunately, there's enough people that say, yeah, 83 to 5%, that's huge. That is major league huge. A Pew Research Center report said that a record high number of Americans say that the role of religion in public life is waning. That's true. But here's the good news. Many believe it's a negative thing for people. And this is the Pew. According to the survey, 57% of Americans believe religion plays a positive role in public life, while 19%, now those of you who can do the math, that's 3-1, have a negative view of the role of religion. A Wall Street Journal poll found, and this doesn't shock me at all, there's all kinds of secular research that says this, the happiest people in the United States place a greater value on religious belief than those who are unhappy. Well, that don't shock you, does it? The highest correlation for people saying they are very happy is belief in God. 68% declared belief in God to be very important to their happiness. Among those who are not happy, 42% said faith in God. So the question of is it harder to be depressed? Is it harder to be anxious? Is it harder to be discontent when you have faith and you embrace that faith and that faith plays a very central part in your life? There is truth to that. It's not a one-to-one relationship, but there is truth. This is something that goes along with Father Robert Spitzer's report. He has a wonderful book out called The Moral Wisdom of the Catholic Church, because he points out where all the places where the church teaches about morality is supported by secular research, boatloads of secular research. The very happy people overwhelmingly value strong relationships. About 67% say marriage is very important to them, independent of whether they're married or not. Got any more? This is my last paragraph on this. An Associated Press research poll said, Americans are a people who have faith and believe in heaven, angels, prayer, and a higher guiding force. Now, one might say, yeah, okay, fine. How does that translate into their living, into their life? I guess I would say it is good that at the base they have that belief, because without that belief, they are not necessarily more inclined to explore what that belief means. With that belief that you say there is a God and that Christ rose from the dead and that prayer is important and I believe in an afterlife and I believe there are angels and demons, with those, even though they may not seep into your day-to-day conduct, with those, it's a place to jump off and go deeper into the pool of what your beliefs mean. 877-573-7825. Dr. Ray.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You remember the time I said on the air, go to confession, and when you're done, go out and have a big ice cream soda. Celebrate. And a man wrote to me, he says, you know, I hadn't gone to confession in 30 years. Do you mind if I went and had a pizza? I said, oh, have 20 pizzas.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
This program brought to you in part by the town of Ave Maria, Florida.
Ave Maria, a big kind of small town. A golf cart-friendly, ride-your-bike-everywhere kind of town with something for everyone. Resort-style amenities, two golf courses, shopping, and dining in our town center. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at the core of the community and a wide range of homes to meet your family's needs. Visitors are welcome. More information can be found at avemaria.com. Ave Maria, a big kind of small town.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
You know the image that kind of music conjures up with me? It's like I can't move. You ever had those dreams where somebody's chasing you and you feel like you're slogging in slow motion? You're in a pool of water that goes up to about 5 feet, right up your chest or neck, and you're trying to run, and you're just, that's what that music sounds like to me. It's like it's dredging up all those dreams I ever had where I was trying to run. And, in fact, I was running in slow motion. All right. Let's go to Nicole from Michigan. And it's interesting that Nicole would ask this question because that's exactly what I did and exactly the experience I had, which, well, maybe Nicole doesn't want to know about my experience, but I want to know about hers. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Thank you for taking my call. We have a daughter who wants to go to a big university. That's her criteria. She wants it to be big. And she does want a good education, but we as parents would prefer for her to go to a smaller, I mean, it doesn't even need to be small, but just we want it to be a Catholic education that would bring our values, the Christian values, into the curriculum of psychology. She wants to go into psychology, which is a wonderful field, but it has so much of the ideologies that are against our faith intertwined into this, into the field now, that we're worried about sending her to a secular school, but she can't picture herself at a smaller university that we're hoping she would go to. She thinks if she doesn't think at 18 the way she sees things, she does very much the welfare of Catholic faith.
Nicole, what's going on there, dear? We're losing you. Something wrong with your phone?
Oh, I'm sorry.
There you go.
Is this better? Okay,
that's much
better.
I apologize. I don't know what you were doing.
I'm sorry. It was on speakerphone. So I thought that was okay, but okay, I apologize.
Well, the only thing is, well, first of all, you didn't do anything wrong, so you don't have to apologize. But I just, it was horrible there for a second. You know why?
Why?
Because it was reminiscent of all the girls I talked to in college who were hanging up on me like that, and they'd say things like, I don't know what's wrong with my phone. Call me later. That's what happened. It was horrible, and I'm okay now. I'm settling down. I'm breathing deep. Now, you said a couple interesting words here. Do you know what they were?
What was that?
I know you ain't going to get this, because I'm a highly trained communicator. You said we would prefer and we would hope. The implication being, gee, we sure hope she decides to go somewhere that's better for her spiritual and emotional well-being. Is that what you're really saying?
Yes, I understand. And we've been praying for that as well. And she's very close to her faith, so she thinks that she would be okay with being at a secular school, because she has the foundation and she knows what goes against her faith, so she'll just let it go in one ear and out the other, mm-hmm. so to speak. So,
and she has no idea.
About what she is going to face. Is that
yes.
what you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
For a couple of questions. Why a faraway college?
Well, actually, she wants to go in-state, so it would just be not far, maybe an hour, a little more than an hour from us, actually. So she likes the idea of being close to home, coming home every so often, but she doesn't want to go to a small school that we would like her to go to, for instance.
Why not? What's wrong with a small school?
She thinks that she would feel too enclosed, like she would be limited in what there is available to her. She feels she might get bored. She did tour Franciscan University, but she came from a public big school, so I think the small school atmosphere was just so different for her.
So the 1 hour away, she's going to live on campus, so she might as well be 10 states away because she's going to live on campus.
Right.
Okay.
True.
Do you know the
True.
Stats of losing your faith in college?
They're not good, are they?
No. They are much more than 50%. Much more. Some stats I've seen is 85.
Wow.
Now, let's go a little further. She's not going to be pre-med, she's not going to be an engineer, she's not going to take a technical thing, she's going to get a bachelor in psychology, correct?
Correct.
What does she think she can do with a bachelor's in psychology?
She wants to go into behavior analysis.
Uh-huh. Sounds fancy. Somebody going to hire her with a bachelor's?
We have heard that it's not likely, but there is possibility.
You have heard right.
Okay.
Here's what it
so
sounds like.
That, knows that
here's
too.
Here's what's coming out here, Nicole. Your gut instinct as a parent is saying this is not a good idea for a whole bunch of reasons. Mm-hmm. However, my daughter wants to do this.
Right.
Gee, if we don't let her do this, she's going to be mad. She's going to be upset. What if you told her, you're going to go local for a couple of years and see how it goes?
Local, such as a commute. Okay, commute to school and live at home.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't like that idea.
Well, of course not. Of course not. She wants to go away. Yes.
Right. And if she doesn't want to drink, she doesn't want to drink. She found a friend who also doesn't want to drink.
Nicole, she may navigate this. I'm not saying she can't. But I will tell you, even back when I went to school, psychology is heavily secular, and it is dominated by the cultural morality that now exists. And furthermore, it oftentimes, and this is sad to say, it has no tolerance for Christian morality. Christian morality is not just another way of looking at things. It is the wrong way of looking at things. And we have to train you out of this if you're going to be a good psychologist. So here's what you're looking at. You're looking at a kid gone away to school to get a bachelor's degree, which in all likelihood, if she only has a bachelor's, she will probably be working in some other field. 50% of kids who get bachelor's degrees when they graduate do not work in their degree field. And after 10 years, it's a much higher percentage than that. So she's gone away.
Okay.
Losing her faith is a real risk. And a lot of parents say, oh, no, they're very solid in their faith. Yeah, they don't know what they're going to run into. Heavy, heavy partying and professors who, by and large, are extremely anti-religious or hostile to religious or, at the very best, ignoring of religious. That's two. Three, she's probably going to, unless you're going to pay for this, she's probably going to have some loans. She's going to come out with loans. Four, she's going to get a degree that probably won't allow her to do much. Five, she wants to go away because she wants the college experience. She wants to be independent and away from home. Well, I now tell this to parents. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but this is what I tell parents generically. Unless there are extenuating reasons to go away to college, particular type of degree, perhaps heavy financial support, it is a bad trade to go away to college to get a bachelor's degree. Bad trade all the way around. So, things to consider. The question becomes, how mad will your daughter be if you say, here's what we've decided?
Yes, she would be upset and very, very angry. She says that she thinks that because she's 18 years old, she should, as an adult, decide we should trust our parenting.
Uh-huh.
That we
is she going to pay for
well.
It? If she's 18, she going to pay for it?
Right. That's true.
Mm-hmm. What about that car? That car that she's going to have there. Whose car is that? What about the insurance on that car? What about that cell phone? What about the money that you send her so that she can do certain things that she might not be able to do because she's on the food plan and, she needs a little more money than that? This is really your decision, not hers.
Right. Yes. I believe that, too.
Well, and when I asked if she's mad, she'll be mad, but I sense that you're a little more worried that it'll be more than mad. It'll be resentment and it'll be withdrawal and all of that, and that she could punish you. But sometimes parents got to go with their instincts. Thanks, Nicole. This is Dr. Ray.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
It's extremely, I think, hypocritical. It's awful. It's so frustrating to hear these big companies saying they are so proud to pay for abortions for the employees, even pay for transportation, pay for the abortions, up to $10,000 some companies are willing to spend to send their employees to get an abortion in states that would still allow it, such as New York and California, and of course right now with all the shenanigans going on in Michigan. But what about health care? What about what about maternity care for moms? What about backing moms in other ways in the workforce as opposed to pitting them against their children? I mean, think about how sexist that is and how undignified that is to say to a woman, you can go get your abortion and then you can come back to work in a day or two. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
We were made for spiritual greatness. The divine image is in every person, however dimly seen in some. God gave man a spiritual and immortal soul. From the first moment in the womb, he or she is destined for eternal life with God. Man, by his reasoning, is capable of understanding the order the Creator has established. By our will, we are capable of aligning ourselves with our true good, which is where we find our perfection. Reason provides recognition of God's voice directing us toward good and avoiding evil. The law of God is made known by our conscience and is fulfilled by the love of God and love of neighbor. Because our first parents sinned, we suffer the wound of original sin. Thus, while we still desire good, we are inclined toward evil and subject to error. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hey, you gotta visit EWTN's site. It's dedicated to the founders, Mother Angelica. You can celebrate her remarkable life there. It's got photos and milestones and a whole bunch of heart-touching stories. And she got a lot of wit. That woman has wit. And the words that have inspired millions through years. So you go to EWTN.com/Mother Angelica. That's hard for me to say. That slash stuff. Maybe you should say, I don't know, forward angle, something like that. Kaz, K-A-Z, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Kaz is calling from Massachusetts. Some people can't pronounce Massachusetts. They really can't. They can't pronounce aluminum. They can't pronounce Worcester. Hi, Kaz. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I have an important question, but I have a quick one. Also, I want to know if you've seen any of Mozart's paintings.
Well, I hate those people who act like they're all sophisticated and everything, and they haven't. They haven't seen a single one of his paintings. That's right.
Me neither.
That ticks me off.
Okay. I'm wondering if you consider homosexuality a mental illness.
Kaz, it doesn't matter what I consider. I will tell you this. Up until, I believe it was 1968, in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, which was what the psychologists and some psychiatrists used to make diagnoses, it was considered a disorder. It was removed. It was removed from that because there's a lot of political movement on that. Looking at it from a strict perspective of, is it a mental illness? No. It is, as the Catholic Church would teach, it is disordered sexuality. It's not the way the body was designed. It's not the way the spiritual, emotional aspect that God had intended. However, that said, question comes up. Are there some people who are predisposed to same-sex attraction? Yes. There are. Yeah, there are. And it is, we haven't found a homosexual gene. There's no homosexual gene. The research just can't support that. The question becomes, and I think now this is really getting confusing, because if you look at the surveys among the young people, Recent survey said that approximately 20% of high school kids now consider themselves LGBTQ.
I think it's a trend.
There is that component. There's social questions that need to be asked, because for most of polling history, the number of folks who said they had same-sex attraction fell between 1% and 3%. When you start hitting 20%, you have to ask some questions. You can't just simply say, no, well, now it's okay, and they've expressed who they really are, because that's not happening among those over 60. So if that were the case, if you were to say, well, it's now safe to come out of the closet, so the 20% figure is a more realistic figure. Well, no, that's not the figure above high school. So that said, is it a mental illness? No. It is an attraction that in many cases is, well, how should I say it? There's a heavy component of you've been sexually abused as a youth. There's a component there. That's often involved. There is pornography. That's often involved, all right? You get kids who head to a homosexual pornography site, and in fact, they start to become confused about what they're attracted to. There is a lot of what you might call family dysfunction involved.
Now, can...
Yes.
I want to say something. Most of my life, I have felt same-sex attraction. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting older now. I have given that up because I'm trying to do the right thing by God, if you know what I mean. But I still have that attraction. And I've never had any family problems since I was a kid. I have no idea what put me in that direction.
There are those,
yes,
who are born with that kind of predisposition, or it emerges later in their childhood. And there, you're right, it scares them. They don't understand it. They can't explain it. It is something perspective within your wiring. Now, the argument to that, Kaz, somebody might say, well, wait a minute. If that's the way Kaz is put together, then who is the Catholic Church or anybody to say she shouldn't live that out? Now, that is the cultural rationale. That's what the culture says. The church would say sexuality belongs in marriage. So the church is consistent. There are people listening to me right now, my vast listening audience of 234 people, who are single and are 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. And they could legitimately say, I'm sexually attracted to the opposite sex. What is this church that's telling me I can't live that out if I'm not married? What is this? So there is some kind of consistency there, although I've heard arguments against that. Your same-sex attraction is not a sin. Not a sin at all. The church would not say Kaz, because she still has those attractions, is sinning. No, you're not. Matter of fact, the church would say you are essentially more heroic than the average person because you have those attractions and you're refusing to live them out.
But it's quite a lonely... It's been quite a lonely life also.
I don't doubt that.
Something that doesn't go away.
I don't doubt that.
As far as I can tell.
But let me offer you this thought, and I can only offer this to someone like yourself who views life like you do. Yes, for you, this has been a cross. It's tough. And it's a lonely life. At least in that respect.
Yes.
You're much more than your same-sex attraction, Kaz. Much, much,
oh,
much
yes.
more.
I have a good-sized family and friends, etc. And I do have a few, still have kept a few gay friends because...
I'm gonna have to jump in here, dear, because I only got about 20 seconds, and I want to say this. You are looking to eternity. So what you have done in the way you have lived heroically like this, you have prepared yourself for eternity in a state without this kind of loneliness, without the discomfort, without the struggle. That's what you have done. And I can only say that to someone like yourself who views all of this in an eternal perspective. Now, Catechism Wisdom with me, Dr. Ray Guarendi, and Father Larry Richards.
Father Larry, church talks a lot about charity, right? Let me read to you something that the Catechism says, section 2447. The works of mercy are charitable actions by which we come to the aid of our neighbor in his spiritual and bodily necessities. Instructing, advising, consoling, comforting are spiritual works of mercy. My profession says that we need to have people meet our needs. Now, this here seems to be a little, I don't want to say antagonistic, but maybe contrary to that.
The way of the world says me, me, me. The way of God says you, you, you. And when we sit there and we focus on the reality, it's in giving away your life, Jesus says, that you find life. That is so anti-world, isn't it?
I serve to feel better?
Exactly. That's where we get everything. It's in giving away your life that you find life. That's the cross. That's the way of Christianity.
That's contrary to conventional wisdom.
Yeah, and that's the point.
Okay. Well, enough said there. Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, catechism puts things on
its
head according to conventional wisdom.
Absolutely. Jesus comes and changes the world and turns the world upside down and says, you want life, then you give away life. And it's in that that we find true life. It's in serving that we become more fully who we are. As God left heaven, if you will, became a man and gave his life for us. And when we do the same, just as he found eternal life in his humanity, so will we. A life of self is a wasted life. God says, I'll take care of number one. You take care of others. And when you give away and you live a life of service, that's when you're going to find life.
So others are number one.
You got it. I have a thing that says, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. The life of joy, huh? That's the exact opposite of what the world says. But when you do that, you will have a joyful life.
Getting you past any kind of lax parenting. So basically, you could say your parenting is ex-lax. Esperanza. From Georgia, or it could be Georgia from Esperanza. I'm not really sure. Hi, Esperanza. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for taking my call.
I like your accent. It's beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I will try to do my best to explain what happened. My daughter got divorced 2 years ago. They have four children. They only have one boy. Three girls, one boy. The boy is 8 years old now. Definitely was experiencing a hard time with him in the way he reacts. He gets frustrated and angry really easy to anyone. It's like on Sunday, he was yelling at me, and I thought that definitely didn't like it at all. So we don't know how to handle the situation with him.
Okay.
He's been taking some therapy. My daughter is taking him to therapy.
Tell your daughter to go to therapy.
I'm sorry?
Tell your daughter to go to therapy. She's the one who has to make the changes to handle his behavior.
I've been telling her that all the kids go to therapy, that she needs to go with them.
Therapy with little kids, Esperanza, doesn't work very well. Matter of fact, I'll go so far as to say it works poorly. You got to work with the grown-ups. here's, I think, the gist of your question. You're worried that something might be wrong with your 8-year-old grandson because of the four kids, he's the ones giving them the most trouble, right?
Yes, correct.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't know your 8-year-old grandson, but I'm going to tell you this on the basis of having experience with a whole bunch of 8-year-olds in my life. Chances are there is absolutely nothing wrong with your 8-year-old grandson. What is likely to be happening is that his single mother is trying to raise four children, and he's the boy, and he's more unruly than his sisters, and he pushes harder on her. As a consequence, she isn't strong enough, at least at this point, in handling him. Now, I can't say that's exactly what's going on there, but I can say that far, far more often than not, that is the picture when you have a divorce situation with a mom trying to raise a little boy who pushes hard, and the mom is doing a whole lot of discipline things that aren't working well. So, a couple of things. One, I have a book that can help her. It's called Discipline That Lasts a Lifetime. It is designed to put a parent back in charge, to deal with all the common discipline problems that kids can throw at you, ages 2 to 18. It's on my website, drray.com.
I'm sorry, what's the name again?
Discipline That Lasts a Lifetime. It's on my website, okay. drray.com. Second thing, you and your husband, when you're watching this little boy, you have to decide how you're going to discipline him. Because if you don't, he'll push you all over the place. That's just the way it is. So given that, get rid of the worry. I mean, I don't know, but I think you're probably wise to get rid of the worry. There's anything wrong with him. Probably nothing wrong with him. The problem is, mom has got to step up and be better at her discipline. She's probably doing too much talking, too much arguing, too much nagging, too much threatening, too little consistency, whatever it is she's doing. And he's just pushing harder and harder. And she's getting frustrated, and she doesn't know what to do, and she thinks something's wrong with him. And unfortunately, all too often, a kid like this gets diagnosed. Somebody puts a label on him. Oppositional defiant disorder, or ADHD, something put on this kid. When in fact, the dynamic is between the parent and the kid. So
okay, my daughter follows some kind of points in the house. If you behave, okay. She also has a problem when they go to their father.
Well,
they are allowed to do anything they want.
That's the complication, and I didn't say it because I didn't know what the visitation rules were. But if it's weekend at Disney World, when he comes back, it's going to take her 3 or 4 days to try to get him back under control, which means she's going to have to be even stronger because he's not cooperating. Dad says, you can watch this, you can watch that, you can do this, you can do that. I won't supervise you. Whatever he's doing, and that is very common in these divorce situations, and it makes it very difficult for the parent who has custody to try to keep things running smooth. Very difficult. Get that book. That book will give you 100 times more ideas than I can give you in this one short call. All righty, my dear? All right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, honey. This is Dr. Ray. Just tried to sell a book, that's all. Money changer in the temple, so to speak.
The Heart of the Interior Life with Elizabeth Jangle.
In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The interior life is the life of our soul. It is our inner world. It is the very depths of our hearts. Entering within our hearts, which isn't always an easy task, is necessary for the spiritual work of discernment. St. Ignatius of Loyola gives us unparalleled instruction for identifying, understanding, and responding to the various movements of the human heart that we experience on a daily basis. St. Ignatius's 14 Rules for the Discernment of Spirits gives us practical tools that will set our hearts free to respond with greater attentiveness to the Holy Spirit and to reject but is not from Him. The Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts in a personal and loving way. His light is His love. Let us ask for the intercession of St. Ignatius of Loyola to bring new light for our interior lives.
For more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Mother Angelica said that the essence of evangelization is to tell everyone that Jesus loves you. Matt Frad says that it is one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. Are we so full of the things of the world that we can't hear or receive the gifts that God is giving to us? In Isaiah, we hear, "The Lord delights in you. I've called you by name. You are mine. You are precious in my eyes, and I love you." Well, we often don't want to hear that, and in the Gospel of Matthew, it hits us over the head even more that we're invited to be part of the kingdom of God. Jesus is King, and He's come to establish His kingdom. The Beatitudes are the eight roads to God. They lead us with His gifts of the Holy Spirit to become the new person in Christ who will find happiness and bring that happiness to others. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
Emotionally peaking, all biorhythms in sync. Aligned with Jupiter and Mars, pegging the IQ needle close to the target zone. Alrighty, real quick, I got a couple of calls up there. I want to get to Barbara. She's commenting on an earlier call. And then I want to get to Miriam, too, because that poor dear has been putting up with a whole lot of a sticky, smelly situation. Hi, Barbara. How are you?
Thank you. How are you?
Okay, dear. You got a call because Nicole was wrestling with her daughter wanting desperately to go to a college and live there and major in psychology.
Okay, well, I'm not calling about her wanting to go away to school, although I did allow my daughter to do that because I wanted her to have the college experience. However, my daughter was a psych major. She was able to get a job in psychology with just her bachelor degree, and she's a behavior analyst now, so it's a very important job that mom's daughter wants. Now, she does need a master for that, but my daughter, the staff at my daughter's agency, they're behavioral technicians or registered behavioral technicians. They get that job as with a bachelor's degree. I mean, my daughter has her master's now, but her, and she's the analyst. But her daughter can get a job at any place. She can apply any place where they work with autistic children, and get a job as a behavioral technician. You know, they'll train her. She can see how she likes the work. And if she does then want to become a behavior analyst, then she'll apply for her master's. She can continue with that job while she's working on her master's.
Well, Barbara, those are good points. Only thing I would say to you is you're right. The problem is if there are people with master's, she's not going to be selected. So the fact that she has a bachelor's is going to limit where she'll get hired, and she may find something. But the other thing I would say to this is that that's what she says now, but if you look at the statistics on the amount of kids who go into college their freshman year and by the time they graduate have switched majors, very high. So, but thank you on that. Good to know that in fact, as a behavioral specialist, there would be those places that would look at her. Thank you, Barbara. Okay, well, now Miriam should have been placed. Eric, I'm counting on you to do this, and I can't believe you didn't, and I'm not going to chastise you in full view of my 200 and some audience. Miriam should have been put on line number one or line number two. You know that, given the question she has, right? Miriam? Are you there?
Oh, well, line number one, because it's a pee problem.
Okay, line number one. Now, see, you know where you should have gone, but Eric, he's just kind of just put you on line number four. And I'm thinking,
I probably should have just told him that.
Exactly. I know it. Yes, you should have. Okay, so.
Okay.
Is this a boy or girl?
This is a boy.
I knew it. Boys are just slower at this stuff. He's 3 years
and my oldest son.
How many months? Three and how many months?
4 months.
Okay. And you said you've been trying this for a year.
Probably a little over a year now. Light at first, and then when he turned around 2.5 is when we really kind of started.
Okay. I can explain part of the reason for your frustration. My wife, she used to have this informal way of looking at it when she would potty train the kids. She'd say, you can try somewhere between 2 and 3 years of age, but if you go 2 years, 6 months, probably going to be potty trained at 3. If you go 2 years, 8 months, probably going to be potty trained at 3. So, in fact, you probably were dealing with some developmental immaturity. So that's the first thing.
All right.
Now, he's old enough now. Nothing barring anything wrong here that you've gotten all kinds of doctors telling you or whomever you talk to. He's okay. He's developmentally on track.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming you're not letting him wet pants. You're going to still keep him in pull-ups or something, right? You don't want to keep washing stuff.
It kind of depends on the day. If I'm frustrated, I'll put him in a pull-up, or if I think I can deal with it, I'll put him in underwear and pants.
All right. Well,
the problem is that he doesn't go to the bathroom on his own.
Well, he gets distracted. Yeah.
Yes.
He's immersed in something that he likes to do, like maybe archery in the backyard, or the trampoline that he works on. So, given all this, here's a suggestion. Many parents think that, well, okay, I'm going to put him in big boy pants, and that'll be big boy pants, and he'll be all excited, and he's in big boy pants, and then he can go to the bathroom like a big boy. Yeah. That can help sometimes. But sometimes big boy pants are not enough to say, yeah, I got to stop what I'm doing to go pee. I would suggest this. Make your life easy. Put him in the pull-ups. And do something like this. You need to tell me, son. What's your son's name, Miriam?
John.
John. Oh, think about this. You named him John because you were hoping it would help in the toilet training.
I don't know about toilet training in particular, but maybe sainthood someday.
Well, all right. So, tell John, son, mommy's going to put you in your little pull-ups here. And you need to come and tell me when you have to go potty, and I'll take you to the potty. If you don't tell me, and I check your pull-up, and it's wet, I'm going to sit you on the potty for a little bit. Now, he's not going to go because he already went in his pull-up, so, all right. I'm going to sit you on a potty for a little bit. And then, you might try this. You might say, okay, now, Johnny, a lot of the things you asked me to do, I'm not going to let you do until you go on the potty. In other words, going on the potty is his ticket to get into color or whatever he does as his 3-year-old, 4-month list. Now, this could take a couple hours, but you just tell him, no, you tell mommy when you got to go potty, and I'll put you on the potty, and then you can have all this stuff back. That usually works pretty quick. It truly does.
All right.
That's a thing to try. Because what's happening here, Miriam, is you're bouncing all over the place, most likely. You try this, you try that. Mm-hmm. You do this, you do that. You give him the M&Ms, you don't give him the M&Ms. You give him M&Ms with peanuts, you don't give him M&Ms with peanuts. You give him, you say, okay, I'm going to put you on a sticker system. Okay, you're going to get a sticker if you get this sticker. And nothing that you tried is enough to get him past the idea of, it's not that important. Sometimes I'll go, sometimes I won't. Whatever. But the thing is, the good news is, you already got him partially trained. He's already kind of every so often telling you, yeah, I got to go potty or something like that. It's just a matter of either when he gets distracted or when he has to go and he tries to delay it and then he doesn't delay it. So that's really just what's happening there. All right. Call me if you would. Call me in a couple of weeks. I just want to see how things come out.
Okay.
All right,
yeah,
dear.
I will do that.
Thank you for the call. Oh, I know she had another question, but we only got about 20 seconds left. By the way, go to ourcatholicradio.org in St. Louis. Covenant Network, wonderful network, because we're taping Living Right with Dr. Ray, April 16 and 17 there. Two shows each evening. If you'd like to be in the audience, EWTN audience, to see your smiling face on EWTN. Plus, we have a lot of fun with the audience. Go there, rcatholicradio.org/Dr. Ray. You can sign up for as many shows as you want, or yeah, maybe just half. Sign up for half a show. If the show stinks, you can walk out. Just sit in the back. Don't create too much of a ruckus. All righty. I appreciate that very much. And Andrew Grucek and Eric Dumont, thank you. Walk with God. It is the walk of life.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit drray.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.